Matthew chapter 13, we've been considering our Savior, the speaker of parables, and I want to continue that. Last Lord's Day, we were interrupted by 5 inches of snow, so what I'll do is to try to bring you up to date and see some things about our Savior, the parable speaker. Matthew 13, and why this scripture is so important is that it is the basis of all the parables that we have in the Gospels. Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes, and without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. That's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we have. Let us know that we read it and we try to understand it. And we're thankful that you have told us the form that is found in it. Your Son was a speaker of parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. At times he spoke in parables, at times he spoke in types, at times he gave doctrinal discourses, at times he gave practical instructions. But we're thankful that you said that your Son, when he came, would be one who spoke in parables, and we would consider that aspect of our Savior's ministry today. Our God, let us know how rich this book is. We are thankful that it has enriched our lives, that it has caused us to turn from darkness to light, from the God of this world to the living and true God. And you filled our hearts with hope, and we're waiting for God's Son from heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. So, as we consider some of the things that your Son said, our Lord, let them be meaningful to us. Let us see his mind, and let it impress our minds, and let it also go into our hearts. We look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and empower by thy Spirit the one who speaks, and give discernment and attentive ears to those who hear. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The marvel about our Savior is this, that all the teachings that he ever gave to mankind throughout his life were those that he composed himself. Most of us would like to think, and many preachers would like to do this, to simply sit down and say, God, I have a sermon to preach. Fill my mind with that sermon that I am to preach. And then, without any study or consideration for the Word of God, the sermon is there. But that is not the way that God does it for his people, and it's not the way that God did it for his Son. It says in Luke 2:52, remember, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom. And the word is, he was cutting his way forward. There are difficult things in life to learn, and for some they come easy. Others, there is more difficulty. But the Lord Jesus was the one who, though he was a son, yet learned. He learned obedience, and he learned truth, and all that he spoke, he learned during this period of preparation of 30 years that he spent mostly in Nazareth. So think of this, that God has a mission for his son to the world, and you do not know anything that the Lord Jesus said except on one occasion when he was 12 years old for 30 years. But then, after 30 years, he was baptized, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind." Here is the Lord Jesus, and God gave him 30 years of preparation, and when our Savior came upon the scene, he was fully prepared to meet any challenge, any temptation, any contest put before him by the devil. Because all those 30 years, God was preparing his heart. What happens to us is this. We want to do something for God. And God says, "Now, do this." And we say, "But I'm not prepared." "But you are to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you." "But I'm not prepared." But the Lord Jesus was. And this is the marvel, that whatever confronted our Lord Jesus publicly from the time he was 30 years of age, the Lord Jesus had in his heart all that was necessary to meet the difficulties of life. Parables, yes. But before parables, the Lord Jesus had simply the Word of God itself. It says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." It means, "Thy Word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And the first thing I found when Christ was presented publicly was that he had the Word of God in his heart, and he was able to quote it from memory when temptations came to him and he was unaware of what the temptation might be. Think now for a moment how our Savior in his person, his being, is filled, first of all, with the Word of God. When Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread." And he said, "It is written." You see, he had that scripture memorized. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Well then, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, because it is written, the Lord Jesus said, "Again it is written, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God." Well, if you'll fall down and worship me, the Lord Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The first thing I discover is this, that the Lord Jesus had laid up in his heart the Word of God, and he was prepared to give an answer to any question that was ever asked him. And what thrilled me more was this, that whenever he was asked questions, the Lord Jesus had a scriptural answer, but more than that, when they asked him questions that had not as yet been revealed to man in the Bible, the Lord Jesus had the answer to them as well. Think of that. If I asked you to show me clearly from the Old Testament the resurrection of the dead and how it's going to be in heaven, could you show me? When you get to heaven, and here is a man, and he married a woman, and he died and left his wife a widow, and then another came along and married her, and he died, and finally she married seven men, and they all died, and finally she died. Now, when we get to heaven, which man is going to be the husband of that woman? You say, well, who would know the answer to that? The Lord Jesus would know the answer to it. What thrills me is this, that if there were any question that could be answered by the Scripture itself, the Lord Jesus could produce that Scripture. And if there were questions that the Bible had not as yet revealed to man concerning the resurrection of the dead, the Lord Jesus, because of his intimate communion with his Father, he had the answer to all of these questions that had up to this time never been revealed. That is the marvel. But now, thinking of that, thinking that the Lord Jesus, just as you and I, the little children, we challenge them to memorize John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and they do that. But suppose your mission in life was to go and preach to a nation the truth of God and tell them the mind of God and the will of God, and you were to do it by speaking parables. How would you begin? What parables are you able to speak right now to illustrate the truth? You say, well, I could speak some of Christ's parables. Of course you could. You could take his and speak them. But how many original parables have you ever thought of to illustrate the truths of God found in the Bible? You say, well, I don't know if I've ever thought of one. I want you to realize that the Lord Jesus, as soon as he came upon the scene, had in his mind a host of parables, and they were there waiting to be used when an occasion presented itself. Two things about his parables. I find this, that at times a situation arises and Christ spontaneously gives a parable to illustrate the truth. Like this. People are looking at his disciples, and they're looking at the disciples of John the Baptist, and they say, John the Baptist's disciples fast, and John the Baptist's disciples wash their hands and go through all the laws. Why is it that your disciples do not do such things? Now, immediately, our Lord had three parables ready to give to them. They immediately came to his mind concerning why do not your disciples fast the way that John the Baptist's disciples fast. He said, look, if there is a wedding and the bridegroom is there with his friends, do you fast at a wedding? Why, of course not. You see, our Savior had that parable ready to give to them. How contradictory are people going to weddings, fasting, having long faces? And then he said, and also concerning truth. He said, we have a new piece of cloth and an old piece of cloth. He said, you do not take a new piece of cloth and rip out a portion of that and patch up an old piece of cloth. You see, he had that parable ready. And he said, and if you have wine, new wine that is fermenting and will expand, you do not put it into old wine skins. Think, whenever this experience challenged him, whenever people asked him questions as to why he did things one way and John the Baptist did things another way, the Lord Jesus immediately had three parables that he could give them. That's one thing. But at times, our Savior is not speaking spontaneously, giving a parable or parables to illustrate the truth, to explain to men the mind of God. But at times, he has already thought out groups of parables and put them together. And he is prepared, without people asking him questions, as in Matthew chapter 13, when people come to him and he says, let me get in the boat and push out a little from the land. And then in Matthew 13, he starts speaking parables. Here, the Lord Jesus has all of these parables prepared, and they are not spontaneous, but they are parables that he has prepared in advance, and then he gives them numerous parables. At times, you will find individual parables. At times, you will find a cluster of two parables. At times, he puts three parables together. I found four parables put together. I found six parables put together. I found eight parables put together. And I found 10 parables put together. What does that mean? It means that the Lord Jesus not only can think of one illustration, that is a remarkable thing. If a man can illustrate or give a parable helping you to understand the truth that he's speaking to you, that's good. But what if you had to give eight parables, each one going into the next, and the next going into the next, one parable explaining something good and another parable explaining something bad? Who could think of such a thing? And what has caused me to marvel is this. You'll find these 10 different parables in Matthew 13. Let me tell you this. You have to look at Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8 to understand that on the same day our Savior gave 10 parables. He may have given more, but you'll find 8 of them in Matthew's Gospel. You find one that he spoke that Matthew doesn't give us about the seed growing of itself. And then also you find in Mark and Luke another parable that the Lord Jesus spoke. And you put them together, and that day he spoke 10 parables. Now, this is what is so remarkable. If I gave you a parable, it could be a good one. But then the next parable that I gave you might not harmonize at all with the first parable I gave you. And I would get you confused because the interpretation of the first parable would not fit with the interpretation of the second parable. But what our Savior does is to give 10 parables, and each interpretation agrees with the interpretation of every other parable. And do you realize that our Savior, in these 10 parables in Matthew 13, has given us the course of this age from the time he was on earth until the time that he comes back from heaven? He can do that in 10 parables. How can I tell you 2,000 years of history? How can I give it to you? The Lord Jesus said, I will give it to you in 10 parables. And so he says, the sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. So here is Christ, and then there are his disciples that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, yes, but what else is happening? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field, but an enemy came and sowed tares in the field. Here is that sowing again, but notice what he's done. He has brought in the activity of Satan. You say, yes. And he shows us that this sowing of the Son of Man, good seed, and this activity of Satan, that these two things are to continue until he comes back again. Why? Because he says, let both the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the angels, go and gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And the Lord Jesus said, so shall it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and do offense. You say, then he has spoken in the first parable about his activity, and then he is speaking about the activity that goes on until he comes back again. Yes. And then I could tell you about the mustard seed and the leaven and the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price and the net cast into the sea. All of these things. And when you look at one of them, you marvel. And then you look at 10 of them put together. And in one page of scripture, you have briefly set before you the course of this age, all its developments, our responsibilities, the activity of Satan, how to overcome the activity of Satan. All of these things. You have the Lord Jesus as the sower. You have the Lord Jesus as the merchantman seeking goodly pearls, as the man who found hidden treasure in a field. How could our Savior do all of that? And that is why I marvel. And I've looked at all of the parables, and virtually all the truth of God from heaven, our Savior put into 56 distinct parables. Some say there are 30 parables. Others say there are more. I've counted at least 56, but it depends on what your definition is of a parable. Listen to this. Physician, heal thyself. That's a parable. But it's so brief that some would say, I'm not counting that as a parable. And so I've looked at the parables, large and small, and I have picked out 56 of the parables. Some of them, everybody would accept, and some would say, oh, there are many more than that. Brief ones like this. Physician, heal thyself, yes, but also the Lord Jesus said concerning a tree. He spoke about a tree. A good tree bears good fruit. A corrupt tree bears corrupt fruit. And so here is a parable. But I found at least 56. Now think of this. Suppose that you, sent on a mission from heaven, had to tell all the truth that God had to speak to mankind in parables. And you could say, I can reduce the truth of heaven and give it to you in 56 parables. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And someday I may tell you each one of them. But what has been a blessing to my soul is this. First of all, you find all the parables, because no two gospels have all the parables. And at the same time, the gospels do not have them in chronological order. At times, one is here, and you'll find that same parable in another gospel given at a different place. So this was the challenge that made it so difficult. Some parables are given one time. Sometimes the same parable is given two times. Sometimes the same parable is given three times. And so because of that, there are not only 56 parables, but when you look at them, some of them are repeated three times. In all, there are 66 distinct parables found in the Gospels, at least. So what our Savior has done is to give us the truth of God from heaven, and God said, I want you to speak to men in parables. And so our Savior, with his acumen, with the great wisdom that is his, superior to Solomon, the Lord Jesus has gathered all the wisdom of God in these 56 parables, and he tells you the truth of heaven that way. This is the marvel. That is why our Savior, in all humility, when it speaks about Solomon in his glory and Solomon in his wisdom, the Lord Jesus says this, a greater than Solomon is here. Greater in glory, greater in wisdom, and also greater as a preacher, because he speaks about Jonah, the preacher, and he says, a greater than Jonah is here. And so the Lord Jesus tells us with humility truths concerning himself like this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Are you saying that you are meek and lowly in heart? The Lord Jesus said, yes. And coming from his lips, there is nothing of a braggart that is expressed, but it is simply the truth of God. And so the Lord Jesus speaks of his glory, and the Lord Jesus speaks of his wisdom, he speaks of his humility, he does all of these things. And a greater than Solomon is being brought to our attention. And so this is the marvel, and I've thought of it, and it is so humbling. Suppose God sends a man from heaven to reveal all truth that man is to know to him. How much truth does he have? The Lord Jesus says, 56 parables worth of truth, more or less. Which makes me think, my Savior in his lifetime, think of his lifetime of work, and all he has done is to give 56 parables. All he has done is to give scriptures, as I told you, it is temptation, to show how they are applicable and how they are fulfilled. And so you take the life of Christ, and we have it in four Gospels. Here it is. His whole life summed up and given to us in four Gospels. Now, think of your life. It could be summed up, and how small would it be? I've told you the greatness of the wisdom of the Son of God. His innate ability greater than Adam. When God brought the animals to Adam, and he said, name them. And they said, horse, cow, dog. And so here is the Son of God. And the Father says, now, how would you illustrate this experience of life? The Lord Jesus would say, it's like a sower that goes forth to sow. It's like seed that fell by the wayside and the birds of the heaven came down and devoured those seed. And just as Adam had innate ability, so the Lord Jesus did. But what is so humbling is this, that your whole life for God, the whole life of the Lord Jesus, as the one who spoke the truth from God, he's the miracle worker, I told you about those. He is the man who speaks the truth from God. He is the parable speaker, that his whole life we hold in just a few pages of Scripture. And I think of what I've done in life, and I've tried to figure it out. For 40 years, I preached 2 to 3 messages a week from the Bible. And it worked out that perhaps I've preached between 3,000 and 5,000 different messages in all the years I've served the Lord. And yet, all that I've done, I started late in life making recordings, and so I have some of those messages left. And all that I've ever said for the last, let's say, 15 years, I can pick up in a few tapes and give it to you and say, this is my life. This is what I said during my life. And so the Lord Jesus, we have in the Word of God all that the Spirit of God told to be recorded and kept that he said, and it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then a little bit in the Acts of the Apostles when he speaks from heaven to Saul of Tarsus, to Peter. We have a little bit in the 7 churches in Revelation, the 7 churches, 2 and 3, Revelation. And so all that the Lord Jesus ever said, here it is. And so life is not very much, is it? You say, all that I've done, it can be summed up in this. That's fine. John the Baptist, of all that people remembered of him, this is something that God records. When the Lord Jesus came and lived the life before men, some of them remembered what John the Baptist said of the Lord Jesus. And they said, now John the Baptist, he was a prophet, but he never performed a miracle. But everything that he said about this man, Jesus, was true. And so the greatest compliment that could ever be given any man or woman is this, that nothing spectacular was done, nothing miraculous was done, but everything this man said, everything this woman said about the Lord Jesus Christ, all of it was true. That's the greatest compliment. And I think of what man, if he possessed the mentality of Christ, I think of all the literature, all of the great novels, all of the great scientific discoveries he would have put his mind to. And then I think of the Son of God and his mind and what he put his mind to. And he sat down and thought. He said, what is life like? My life on earth, what am I like? He said, why, I'm like a farmer that goes forth and sows seed. He says, why, I'm like a shepherd that cares for sheep. He said, I'm like a king that sits on his throne and puts sheep on one side and goats on the other. I'm like a king's son. You see, our Savior has thought through life, and he's thought what he is in life, what character is Christ, and he's thought of his fellow creatures and what they are in life. And the Lord Jesus has condensed it all and given it to us in these 56 more or less parables. That is the marvel. And the next thing is this, how brilliantly he used these parables and how he spoke these simple things in such a way that when his enemies sent soldiers to arrest him, and the soldiers came back and they said, where is he? We sent you to arrest him. They said, never man spake like that man. They were so enthralled with what he said that they forgot what they were supposed to do, and they were unable to arrest him. Ezekiel, when God told him to speak in parables, it displeased Ezekiel because people knew Ezekiel as a parable speaker. And he said, Lord, they're talking about me. They say that I am a speaker of parables. And yet, when the Lord Jesus was sent from heaven as a parable speaker, that prophet that was going to speak in parables, the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, and it's one of his greatest assets. They were not below him, but the Lord Jesus was able, with the pattern that God gave him, the method that he was to use. He said, you are to speak parables in fulfillment of Psalm 78. The Lord Jesus said, yes, and he put his mind to it, and he has set forth the truth of God as we have it in these Gospels. Jesus, the speaker of parables. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we do marvel at the way that you can take simple things, things that men can understand, that they see all the days of their lives, and you tell us the truth of heaven with these things. And we are thankful that there was no one like your Son who could explain it better. Our Father, we thank you for the mind of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he's the light from heaven, and we are thankful that he has spoken the light from heaven in a way that if men will open their hearts, they can understand. So let us understand how simple, how brief, how small life is, and yet your Son was satisfied with it, to be known as the speaker of parables, and we can read all that he ever said in about an hour's time, and that was his life. So let us not be concerned. Let us speak the words that you want us to speak, and let us live the lives you want us to live, and leave the outcome to thee. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.